Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, I wish we could find some way to hold people accountable.
Now, unfortunately, since I made that decision, members of Congress have...
10 minutes in this show and I'm leaving. It's horrible.
Now, I understand that you're thinking of taking another
job.
Hey, Katie, you're fired. World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we go places other talk shows wish they could and they can't. And, of course, the Patriot line open at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. That's driving me nuts, bud.
Wait.
Just the all of a sudden, the screen here on our... video cast is just driving me ape, man. It's just getting all kinds of interference here. I don't like it. You know? Guess we're going to have to do something about that when we get off the air. Is that it?
Yeah, well, just do about 2% more. No. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
Will you get out of here? Anyway, welcome to our show, and we thank our guests this evening, David Castorini from the Youth Ministry, as well as... Our first guest of the show, I forget even who that was. It was Stephen Bozella was suing Charlie Sheen for stinking it out there in Detroit. Good luck, Steve. You know, I mean, I don't know why I was arguing as much as I was with the man, because quite frankly, I ought to wish him well. You know.
Well, then nobody's gonna sue Charlie Sheen, though.
Yeah, I don't. You know, whatever. I mean, it would be very funny after all of that guy's antics, after all of what Charlie Sheen has been talking about, how fantastic he is, Adonis DNA, all this, and he gets sued for stinking a joint out, and the people win. That, you have to admit, it would be funny. World famous Phil Hendry Show here, and of course online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show as you listen, you can watch. We are online at philhendryshow.com with high definition Phil TV. And we also, of course, have our daily podcasts. That's right. Sign up through iTunes and get this show delivered to you tomorrow. Also, our classic Phil podcasts. Also, our news feed. Also, the largest archive of any single radio show in the history of mortal man on this planet. It's all there for you. Now, Bud, you got me the serial murderer story, right?
Yes, Mr. Andrew. I know you enjoy them very much.
I don't enjoy them very much. It's just that I look at this phenomenon called the serial murderer. And if any country in the world, if any group of people in the world can defeat this aberrant individual, the serial murderer, the brutally aberrant human being, the anti-human, it's the American people with our minds for criminology, psychology, and, of course, our great law enforcement. In other words, maybe. So this is in Gilgo Beach, New York. Now, where is Gilgo Beach, New York? We ought to get a map or something to show people, but... Three additional sets of human remains have been discovered on the same New York beach where a serial killer is believed to have dumped the bodies of five other women. Suffolk County Police announced the discovery of the bodies today, raising the number of victims to at least 8. So there is a serial murderer afoot in the New York metropolitan area, and now they think that this individual has killed at least 8 women. Searchers used fire truck bucket ladders for an aerial view as others walked Oak Beach and Gilgo Beach in Long Island. They've waded through tall, thick, and tick-infested vegetation.
But ticks will get on you.
Yeah, ticks, and they've got these cadaver dogs. And the cadaver dogs are sniffing for human remains. On top of that, according to the dog handlers with the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department, the dogs are trying to sniff for human remains, but at the same time, they've got these bramble bushes that are smacking them in the snout. So everybody is uncomfortable as they're going through this a very tough area in terms of these thickets of vegetation and swamp, and it's wet, and it's all kinds of stuff, and then ticks.
But don't worry, you used to get a tick off a dog.
The what?
Tell people the way you used to get a tick off a dog.
Tell people the way...
The way you got a tick off dogs.
Oh, the way I used to get ticks off a dog. Well, I mean, you take a cigarette, you know?
Yeah.
But people are going to think that what you did is... Well, it's kind of grotesque, man, you know?
No, but it's kind of interesting.
Well, you take a cigarette. You want to get a tick out of a dog, you just take the cigarette and burn that tick's ass with it, and it'll... It's too sick. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, police first discovered 4 skeletal remains in December when searching for missing prostitute Shannon Gilbert. None of the remains have matched Gilbert's. A fifth body was discovered last week, but that was determined to not be the body of Gilbert. Do you understand that these police officers have discovered at least eight bodies when they were looking for just one? And because they found them in the same area, they believe, the people in the know who know these kinds of animals, they believe that obviously... these are individual. This is a serial killer, an individual serial killer, and this is where he drops his kill. And in many ways, when you're dealing with these guys, you're dealing with a kind of an animal. They have an instinctive approach to their work, if you call it that. But that's what they call it. They call it work. This is what they were born to do. In the minds of some of these guys. The victims who were previously identified were all prostitutes. I don't know, far be it from me to judge what people do to make ends meet. Far be it from me to judge what an individual does when they're in the most desperate of circumstances, the most desperate of times, what they would do to make ends meet,
Yeah, like what you do.
But what do you mean, what I do? Get out of here.
I'm going to make a talk show.
Well, at least I ain't walking the street. Well, I couldn't walk the street, could I?
Well...
But, take a look at this. I mean, prostitutes, this is about as dangerous a pursuit, a line of profession, whatever you want to call it, that you could think of. I don't know what these girls think when they... I recognize that you get into a level of comfort when you figure, well, I sort of know the ropes, and I kind of know how this is going to... work, and I've seen this kind of guy before, and I've worked the street before, and I know the kind of men that come here, and I don't think you're ever prepared. Because look at the women that are murdered by these serial murderers. These animals, they prey on the easiest, the women that are not going to be missed, the ones that they could take and throw off a cliff, and nobody's going to miss them for years, possibly, and these are prostitutes. It was Gary Ridgway's M.O. It was, the Jack the Ripper, you name it. I mean, look at Jack the Ripper went after prostitutes. He was down there in the slummiest, scummiest part of London, and he was hitting all prostitutes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you want to kill someone who has no history, has no future, has no nothing, that's why they go after these poor girls. Commissioner Richard Dormer told ABC News in December, four bodies found in the same location. That pretty much speaks for itself. It's more than a coincidence. We could have a serial killer. Investigators have made little progress in the hunt for the serial killer, according to sources familiar with the investigation. One of the problems is because these bodies that were found, there's no DNA or anything like that.
Yeah, but you were saying that it's pretty hard to be a serial killer now.
Well, I mean, my thinking is if it's the first time, if you catch a guy when he's killed for the first time, you can catch him, but... this guy obviously has got a head start on the cops. There's no question about it. And one of the reasons he has a so-called head start on the cops is because where he was dumping these bodies is very, very difficult to get to. It was tough for these cadaver dogs. It was tough for the search dogs. It was tough for the cops. This is very, very tough terrain. Detectives have conducted interviews with associates, neighbors, friends, and relatives. This is all on Long Island, guys, by the way. It's a place called Gilgo Beach. We'll look it up and see if we haven't got a map or something we can put up on the video cast. According to detectives, they conducted interviews with associates, neighbors, friends, and relatives. In January, police identified one of the skeletons found on the secluded stretch of beach as belonging to Megan Waterman, a young woman who was last seen at a nearby Holiday Inn with her boyfriend in June. Now, this was in where? It was in January?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a long time, man, to be missing. Did I ever tell you that story? I wish I could find the name of this case.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
It's nuts. The coincidence is nuts. I don't know if I told you guys the story of this, but this story here jarred my memory. Is a young woman who went missing in the late 70s. This is insane. She goes missing, and I'm telling you, it's like a two-decade search. Now, the detective that was resurrecting the cold case on this, and he might have been the original detective, I don't know. He was on this case looking for this girl and in association with other police officers and other agencies, but he was the lead detective in the local area that they were looking for her. Couldn't find her, couldn't find her, couldn't find her, couldn't find her. They were clearing some swampland and some trees about 20 years after this girl goes missing. And one of the tractor drivers, the bulldozer driver, sees something. That's all, you know, he sees. And sure enough, it's human remains.
It's a girl?
It's this girl that they were looking for 20 years, and they found her 50 yards away from where this detective lived.
Did he do it?
No, he didn't do it. No, he didn't do it. The thing of it is she was dumped in an area where a cop lived, and it happened to be the cop that was the lead cop on this case.
How do you know he didn't do it, though?
Yeah. The cat, there's no motive. The guy, he probably had an ironclad alibi. Look, man. You know, the fact is, guys, just because they found this woman 50 yards away, well, you know, it's a good question.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, how do you know he didn't do it?
Because he didn't do it, all right? He didn't do it. But I just find the coincidence of her being, you know, maybe 20 years ago, he wasn't even a cop. Maybe he was a
serial killer.
Maybe he was a serial killer. I don't know. All right, let's take a break because I got to get out of this story. I'm sorry I brought that up now. World famous Phil Henry Show here, Patriot Radio for Patriots by Patriots, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, oh, here we got it. We got Gilgo Beach. If you guys, here's on our map, on our Google map. It's a really, if you're looking on our webcast, you can see it's a very, very isolated stretch of beach there on Long Island. And bordering it on one side is the John F. Kennedy Wildlife Sanctuary. And on another side is a thing called Oak Island. And Cedar Bay Beach, just and the Ocean Parkway, which eventually heads all the way out to the bitter end of the island. But it does look like a really, really isolated area. And I guess you'd have to. It looks like it's only accessible by. Well, no, that's a road there, isn't it? So forget it.
You're saying by boat?
I was gonna say yeah. It looks like it's only accessible by boat. But what am I saying? That's a freaking road.
Yeah, man, that would be a road.
All right, it's a road. I'm sorry, And I got Jason working. I don't know. If anybody knows, we would appreciate a call here. If anybody knows this case that I'm talking about, where a detective, and usually we like to come up with these answers ourselves because that's not your job. You know, you guys listen to the show. But I'm telling you, I can't. I wish to God I would have written it down. It was a detective who was on this case of a missing girl. And when they finally found the remains many years later, the remains were found not far from this cop's home. Where this guy actually lived. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show. The other story that we wanted to get into here, not because it's about a serial killer, but it is it is about a guy that could be a serial killer, and that, of course, is the great rock star Meatloaf. Now, anyway.
Really?
No, not really, but this guy, Meatloaf, I'm telling you, it's more like Meathead. Meatloaf, who went into an epic rant on Celebrity Apprentice. This guy looks like he might be suffering from roid rage or something, man.
Well, let me see that.
Here's a picture of him here. And he is pointing to he's screaming. In this picture, you see, is Meatloaf screaming at Gary Busey, who is the actor. Meatloaf is the rock star. Both of them making similar impacts in their chosen professions. And I say that with great respect. Gary Busey's a great actor. I've always loved him. Always loved Gary Busey and the things that he did. In fact, my favorite thing that he did, he's such a weird ass, was that Under Siege. Did you see that?
Oh, that was bitching. You know, the one with Steven Seagal.
Exactly. Steven Seagal, Tommy Lee Jones, Gary Busey. I forget who the hell else was in that movie. That was a hell of a movie. It was just a great action movie. A lot of parts. And then Meatloaf, well, you know, either you like Meatloaf or you don't like Meatloaf.
I like short ribs.
Anyway, Meatloaf spectacularly lost his cool last night during the latest episode of The Celebrity Apprentice. Chaos broke out when the Loaf, real name Michael Lee Loaf, no, I'm kidding, Michael Lee A-Day.
What's the name? Loaf.
No, A-Day, not Loaf. I was joking. Was convinced, I'm sure, Michael Lee Loaf, was convinced a member of his team had stolen his art supplies. The singer's temper reached boiling point when he accused Point Break star actor Gary Busey. Was he in that movie? Yeah, he was. He was in that movie, that's right. But stealing his paints and sponges during during a task which involved raising as much money as they possibly could by creating their own artwork and selling it in a gallery. The raging singer squared up to Gary and could not be calmed down despite every effort from teammates. Gary later summed up Meat's crazed outburst by saying, "Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on the rainbow with no fear." These guys are just mental cases, man. Well, we have Meatloaf's temper tirade if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Here is, in an epic rant on last night's Celebrity Apprentice, Meatloaf went ape on Gary Busey, whom he thought had stolen his painting supplies.
Okay!
What's wrong?
Mother!
What's wrong?
I bought those mother sponges. Part of that paint is mine. I'm sick and tired of you, mother.
No.
That was all mine in my basket.
No. Bull mother.
Well, I have to
receive. Hold on, guys.
You don't want to make you get out. You don't want to start with me.
Meat, don't do it. Don't do it.
Meat. You do not want to with me. You look in my eyes. I am the last person in the world you ever want to with.
Whoa, dude.
You understand me?
Boy, what a headache.
You mother, you look at me all
the
hurts. You'll be in the hospital in about 4 minutes.
Me, hold on, me. Look,
take him out of here. Take him out of here.
Come on, Gary.
This is mine.
Come on, Gary.
It is not yours, you crazy.
Don't engage it. Don't engage.
Calm down.
Don't engage.
Don't engage.
Just get your stuff. You're fine. You're good, brother. You're good. What's yours, Meat? What's yours? It's all right, Meat. It's all right, dude.
So it turns out Busey didn't steal Meatloaf's bag of art supplies. John Rich found it in the corner of the room.
Yeah, I know what I...
Well, why don't you take what you think is yours?
I bought sponges, I bought a spray paint, I have my...
We can also go right back down there and grab some more stuff.
But you just don't assume, and you ask.
Meat. Look, is this your bag? I might have just found your bag.
Let's just saddle.
It was under a corner.
You pushed me too far!
Does this look like it?
How do you feel now, Meat?
Thank you.
It was under a corner.
Take your spray paint.
Thank you very much.
Shut the up!
No, I can't.
Do your hard work and get out of my face!
I'm not in your face.
You ought to apologize to him there, Meat. Can you believe that?
That guy, man, he would have hurt him, man.
Yeah, he would have hurt him. He was like, right, he was ready to go. He was ready to go. You don't say that to anybody if you're not. But here's the thing. That stupid, dumb, thick, redneck, dumbass... I'm saying that because he's not here.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that to Loaf if he was here.
Wouldn't say that to Loaf.
Well, I mean Meatloaf.
Well, I can say it because I'm a broadcast professional and my job is commentary. That guy has roid rage, man.
You think he's doing roids?
I don't know, man. I mean, any dude that is that unrestrained, I mean, I get pissed. There's no question. People have watched the webcast know this. They know, they've seen me pissed off, right? But that cat was saying things like, look in my eyes, you know. He was basically calling Busey out, and he was ready to go, and it was going to be physical, and there was no question. If Busey had said, yeah, let's go, then it was going, you know, there was going to be blood. And the dude's on TV, and the cat is, And here's that picture again of him. There it is.
Yeah, if that's not roid rage, Dad, then my name isn't Dickman.
Dickman.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to see the picture.
Well, how's that making your talking screwed up? So, yeah, he was definitely rock and roll, wasn't he?
Man, you know, the cat like that, man, got to back down.
Well, Busey was in the right there, and I have to say, even at the end there, where it sounded like he said, "I'm not in your face," and I'm not, you know, I think he had a right to express himself, And Loaf would have probably killed him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ah! Loaf was going to kill him, man.
Phil Hendry. Loaf. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this, I run the risk of not sounding as if I've got my hip currency, you know, up to date here, but what an illiterate society we live in these days. What a society of mumbling and stuttering and profane imbeciles we have become. And then I'll get into what this story is really about.
No, you don't like the baby mama.
What is this baby mama and baby daddy and I got in my hump and my bad and my good? Let's start speaking the English language before it's too late. What is this, Orwellian future speak? You know, folks, this is something to keep in mind. George Orwell, in the book 1984, rendered, I think, a pretty decent lesson. And this is what he said. He said, if you want to control the way people think, control their language, control the words they say. For instance, in the book 1984, in this futuristic society, in this police state that Orwell was warning us against, in a state that was in the future where there were no more individuals, we were only one unit working together for the good of the state. There was no individuality, and there was no love. As a matter of fact, there wasn't any word anymore called love. It was now called unhate. So there was either hate or there was unhate. Now, what did that do? It made the frame of reference hate and anything off of that. So there was either hate, or if you felt warmth for someone or something that used to be called in the way back days love, now you were feeling unhate. And so it went in this Orwellian language that he talked about and that was in the future society that Winston Smith, the hero of the book, lived in, double plus good. There weren't words anymore like fantastic or orgasmic or ornate, copious, magnificent. The words that we use to describe a sunset, the words that we would use to describe the birth of a child. You know, there was none of all of those words had been outlawed. All of those magnificent words having to do with colors and feelings and emotions. The only thing they had now was either good, or if something was really good, it was double good. Or if it was really, really good, double plus good. So what he was telling us was that when you limit words, you limit thought. Because if you think about it, you think in terms of language. You may be thinking that you love a girl, but you're still thinking the word love. You may be thinking that it's a beautiful day, but you're still thinking the word beautiful. But if the only word you have is hate or unhate or good or double plus good, you have limited now your ability to think of things in more colorful and vast and magnified ways. Now it's just either this, double plus good, or good or double good, and that's it. And so when we limit language like we find ourselves doing, and this is one of the reasons why, in my opinion, we often argue against the constant use of profanity. I mean, if you're always F word this, F word that, and of course you guys hear me during the breaks on the video cast, I'm F this, F that, SS, because during those particular times, my intention is not to write a book of poetry. My intention is to be understood. My intention is let's get to here. Nonetheless, I could clean my act up. There's no question. And when we hear people saying baby mama and my bad in everyday use, this is lazy speech that leads to lazy thinking. It leads to limited thinking. It leads to a limited ability to think. So don't ever believe in your wildest dreams. I mean, you may have every single hipster phrase and bit of slang down, and you may be very proud of that, and that's fine. But don't ever think that you're somehow expanding your way of viewing things or thinking of things. You're limiting how you view things and think of things. Learn more words, use more words, not fewer words, and use big and complex words. William F. Buckley said once, and you know, forget about his politics, a woman said to him, "Why do you use all those big words?" And he said, you know, in his way, he said, "Well, why don't you like them? They're unusual." She says, "Yeah, they're unusual. I never hear them." He said, "Well, you know, a minor diminished chord in music is a very unusual chord, but it still makes beautiful music." And the woman collapsed in a heap and began to weep.
She did?
No, she didn't. But I thought it was a very good point that he was making. In other words, why not use big words, beautiful words, magnificent words? They make beautiful music. Unfortunately, you came to the wrong place for that.
You heard that, man.
However, we can still tell you about celebrities with the most baby mamas. All right. Yes, celebrities with the most baby mamas here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
Number one, it's Charlie Sheen. 5 kids, 3 women. That's right, Charlie doesn't just date women in their 20s. He's a father to one. When the tiger-blooded warlock was just 19, he had a daughter, Cassandra Estevez, with his high school sweetheart. Second wife, Denise, with his high school sweetheart, who doesn't get to be named here, I guess.
But it's good for her.
True. Second wife, Denise Richards, gave him 2 more daughters, Sam and Lola, while the third, Mrs. Sheen, Brooke Mueller, bore him 2 sons in 2009, or 2009, if you will.
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
When asked about her father's recent troubles, Cassandra, whom Charlie walked down the aisle in 2010, said diplomatically, "I love my dad is really all I can say right now. Otherwise, he throws me downstairs." This is not... I'm kidding. Don't look to see if it's really there.
Well, man, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
I'm kidding. She really said, "I love my dad is really all I can say right now. This is not my time to come forward. Someday I will, but not now." Ooh!
Man, she must have something she's hiding.
No kidding.
Oh, man, you think so?
Whoa! Number 2, Sean Combs. Sean Puffy Combs, if you will, P. Diddy Puffy. 6 kids with 3 women. Let's see, 5 children with 3 women. 6. Hey, I did you there, Chuck. Of all the names that Sean Combs has given himself, Puffy, P. Diddy, he's never thought to go with the obvious Prolific Daddy. Yes, the 41-year-old rapper and music mogul had his first child, Justin, in 1993 with his high school girlfriend. Justin, who was featured in MTV's My Super Sweet 16, received a $360,000 Maybach for his 16th birthday and a driver. Is that a car? I don't know what that is, man.
I think it's like a washing machine.
What do you mean a washing machine? He got himself a driver.
Yeah.
You need to have a driver for a... No, it's got to be a car. Combs also has 3 children with longtime girlfriend Kim Porter and is an active stepfather to Porter's son with singer Al B. Shure. And in October 2007, he accepted legal responsibility for his daughter with Sarah Chapman after DNA tests proved he was her father. "At first, I wasn't sure if this was my child," Combs said. "Now that it's become clear she is, I will take care of her for the rest of her life." Well, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, you got to put her on her own 2 feet.
Yeah, I mean, when she grows up, then she's... anyway. Number 3, Kevin Costner, 7 children, 3 women. Well, guess what? He just kicked your asses. For a man who already had 3 children from his first marriage and a son by a girlfriend, it seems odd that Kevin Costner was afraid of walking down the aisle again because of kids. "For years, fear kept me from marrying," he told Parade magazine. He's talking about his second wife, German-born model Christine Baumgartner. "Christine wanted a child, but I was afraid I couldn't be an effective father. But the Oscar-winning director got over that. He married Baumgartner in 2004 and had 3 more children. I don't think you should close off your life from your children," he said in 2008. Oh, God, this is... So then number 4 is Lil Wayne. 4 kids, 4 women. But at least it's like, you know...
Yeah, keeping it reasonable.
1 woman per kid or 1 kid per woman. Here's Clint Eastwood. 7 children, 5 women. What the hell, man? Million Dollar Baby, try 7. The 80-year-old Oscar winner has fathered children with 5 different women over the past 47 years, and 6 of those kids, including Allison Eastwood and Kyle Eastwood, have appeared in his dad's movie, in the dad, in Clint's movies. The 7th, Catherine Eastwood, was Miss Golden Globes in 2005. What's that?
I don't know, but she won a Golden Globe.
No, she was Miss Golden Globes. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, the largest breasts.
Largest breasts?
Yeah, ain't that what that means?
Golden Globes are the Foreign Press Awards. Anyway, in 2004, Steve Croft interviewed Eastwood for 60 Minutes and tried to get him to talk about his unconventional fatherhood, but the famously laconic actor brushed him off saying, F off. No, he didn't. He said, I like kids a lot. Number 6 is Antonio Cromartie. New York Jet cornerback Antonio Cromartie has 9 children with 8 women, and he is 2 children and 3 baby mamas away from being able to field his own football team. I don't like that term, baby mama. It's pissing me off. I mean, it's one thing to be reading about these slobs, and I say that with all due respect. I don't like that term, you illiterate bastards at Newser and the Daily Boist. What makes Cromartie's numbers even more impressive is that he's fathered... What do you mean impressive, man? What does that mean, impressive?
Well, I had a lot of kids.
Oh, I see. So he's able to spit out a lot of kids. Meaning what, man? Meaning he's a stud? Okay, he's a stud. That's still a lot of kids that got to get taken care of. See, that's the whole thing. That's the world we live in now. If you're able to stud 8, 9, 10 kids, you're some kind of a man. Doesn't matter how these kids are living, where they're living, or if they're living. You're some kind of a man because you got 85 million kids. I got to tell you this, and I love kids. If I knew that I had 8 children somewhere with like 6 different women, I'd probably blow my brains out of my head. I wouldn't be able to keep track of it, man.
What would you do what these guys are doing and pay it up?
But if you had a CAT scan or anything...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Seriously.
What do you mean?
You're always like, B-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b. I mean, I think you really need to have your brain scanned or something.
Now, wouldn't you pay for them?
Yes, I'd pay for them. But if that's so, it's such an anti-Phil Hendry thing to do that if all of a sudden I woke up and somebody told me that you have 11 children by way of 8 women, I'd say, can't be me, blame Bob Marley. And he's dead, so.
Hey, good move.
Thank you. Well, look at this. It is Bob Marley, 11 children and 8 women. How about that? No women, no cry. Obviously, Bob Marley was not speaking from experience. The Reggae Legends website officially acknowledges 11 children by 8 different ladies, including several by his wife, Rita. I'm sure she's so happy to know that there were 7 other women with 19,000 other kids. But others claim to be his offspring. Several Marley kids have become musicians themselves, most famously Grammy-winning Ziggy Marley, whose new comic, Marijuana Man, will be released on when else? April the 20th.
I don't get it.
420.
Oh.
Rod Stewart. Yes, he may look as old and as wrinkled and as crumpled up as any old man you've ever seen, but he's got 8 kids and 5 women. In 1978, Rod Stewart asked the musical question, do you think I'm sexy? Well, 33 years, 8 children, and 5 baby mamas later, and we still can't figure that one out. We do know that he's got money. While modeling, I'm just going to start rewriting these things as I read them.
Go ahead, man. It's way better.
I'm going to have to, because some of these things are written so poorly. So anyway, 8 children, 5 women, this, that. Do we know the answer? Is he sexy? No, but he is rich. While model and actress Kimberly Stewart is the best known of Rod's brood, he was only recently reunited with his oldest child after 46 years. In 1964, a 17-year-old Stewart put his baby daughter up for adoption because he and his girlfriend were penniless, you slob. Sarah Streeter named that because she lived on the street for decades with a heroin habit until she found out that her old man was loaded. Then she tapped him up as well she should have. Anyway, only learned of her famous father when she was in her 20s, and the two reunited last year after Streeter's adoptive parents died. I never was angry about what happened, really, she said. Yeah, sure. But now that I'm older, I see things differently and realize that it's been as difficult for him over the years as it has been for me. Now we're at the start of a new chapter, and that's wonderful. Basically, what that means is a check every month.
All right! You think she's going to want money?
Do I think she's going to want money? Yes. Do I think she should get money? Yes. Do I think she should hit him up for a lot? Yes. Are there people out there who probably would say, hey, they have a right to put a kid up for adoption, and she doesn't have a right to come back? Bull crap. If you're responsible for bringing a human being into this world by way of your voluntary actions, and you gave that child up for adoption because you didn't have any money, and then all of a sudden you got all kinds of money, let me tell you something, Rod. They don't call you Rod for nothing, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd like to read more of these, but there's only one more. Kevin Federline, 5 children, 3 women. There you go. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with our final segment here on the FAA requiring Boeing 737s getting checks after Southwest's jet lost part of its fuselage, some of the outer skin of the aircraft. We'll be back to talk about that here. Don't forget PhilHendryShow.com for all of your podcast needs and all of your webcast needs and all of your Phil TV needs. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
That's gotta be what it is. Oh, will you give it a rest?
Why not?
These guys, I'm arguing with these nuts now about these bodies that have turned up on Long Island in New York at a place called Gilgo Beach. Now, if you look at the map of Gilgo Beach, you will see, as we have it here on our display, on our webcast, you'll see that it is a, right there where that little red A is, it's in a fairly remote part of Long Island. Now, this is a part of Long Island. Long Island is actually very populous, obviously, and there's plenty of areas where there are high concentrations of people, but this is a remote little, almost like a sandbar, if you look at it on a map. It's just a spit of land, and there are wildlife sanctuaries. Well, right next to it, as we head to the north and to the east, is Fire Island. Fire Island, famous for its gay resorts, gay beaches, so forth. So Bud here thinks a gay guy did it.
Yeah, could be a guy who kills women and then goes back to the gay restaurant.
What, man? What are you talking about? You sound like an idiot, man.
That's the best. What are you talking about?
What do you mean he kills women and goes back to the gay restaurant? What are you talking about, man?
It could be.
Yeah, it could be, bud. And you know what? It could be a guy that flies in once a day from Afghanistan and kills him. It could be some, I don't know who it could be. Maybe these women are committing suicide. You don't know.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, but I mean, for you to say, because it happens to be, well, maybe it is, I don't know, but because it's near Fire Island.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, this could be a gay guy, and then he kills a bunch of women and goes back before the dinner's delivered.
Oh, I see. So he's killing women just before they bring dinner, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as long as you put it that way.
Get out of here. Ow!
No idea. All right, the FAA requires Boeing 737 checks after Southwest's midair split. Kills women and then goes back before dinner's delivered.
I told you.
U.S. aviation regulators will require carriers to inspect about 175 older 737s, the world's most widely flown jet. How much time we got here? Because I want to get to the good stuff here. For fuselage cracks, after a Southwest Airlines plane split open in flight. Good God. An emergency directive will be issued tomorrow. The Federal Aviation Administration said in a statement today there are about 1,800 of those models in service. The FAA is only requiring inspection on planes that have taken off and landed more than 30,000 times. It's called a cycle. A cycle. A cycle is takeoff and land. That's one cycle. Takeoff and land. That's two cycles. So 30,000 times is 60,000, 30,000 takeoffs and 30,000 landings. And that's a lot. And this story, when I saw this, boy, if you don't think it brought to mind that Hawaii Air incident, and Bud, you and Robert are too young to remember, but this was in the 80s, and I think it was in the late 80s, that it might have been later than that, a Hawaii Air or one of the Hawaiian Inter-Island Airlines, the whole roof of the thing ripped off.
What?
I'm telling you. And I mean, they were in flight, and the cabin was exposed. There was and when they landed, you saw people just buckled into their seats, and they were just like, they looked like being put through a wind tunnel, which is basically what had happened. And if I'm remembering correctly, one poor young flight attendant lost her life. I think that was the extent of casualties from this flight. I think everybody else was safe, but this one poor young woman, I guess, was pulled out of the aircraft.
Wow.
When the thing with the skin peeled off. And, man, that was the same thing, man. I'll never forget because the term metal fatigue, they kept talking about that. And it was gruesome. I don't want to leave you guys in a bummer. We'll look that up, man, and find out what happened there. Here's a good thing. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get yourself a Phil Henry Show mug. Get the coffee mug so you can wake up in the morning and see our smiling faces. Get the Phil Henry Show shot glass so you can have yourself a taste to take a look at our smiling faces. Get any one of our great legacy CDs while you're there at philhenryshow.com. And also, when you're in the shop, coming this week, T-shirts!
Ow!
That's right.
Oh, man, I'll get mine.
Coming up, we have our official Phil Henry Show T-shirts. All of it ahead in the merchandise shop. Our show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson. And our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. This is the world-famous Phil Henry saying, until tonight, never mind.
Phil Henry.